How's it going today, guys? This is Garrett Korpenning for Locked On Clippers, the official LA Clippers podcast of the Locked On Podcast Network. In addition to this show, I also cover the Clippers for Clipperholics, which is FanSided's one and only Clippers blog. You can find me on Twitter at GA Korpenning. That's GACHORPENNING. There you can forward to send me questions, comments, and anything else you feel relates to LA Clippers basketball. So welcome back to the show, guys. It is a beautiful Monday, May 14th. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I'm looking forward to having another great week here as host of the Locked On Clippers podcast. A lot of big headlines came this weekend talking about the Boston Celtics win over the Cavaliers, some things that Jerry West had to say about the team and the direction of the team under Blake Griffin, the draft lottery coming up tomorrow, and a few other things. So to start things off this week, we're talking about Jerry West's recent comments with the Clippers and Blake Griffin and why I agree with him. And if you listened to last Friday's show, I did have to bump the mailbag segment to next week due to the Dre West story here. So that will be coming. You guys still have time to get your questions, comments, anything else you feel in there that you want me to answer on the podcast next Monday. So again, you can send me those to my email, which I will list, which I'll say later, and my Twitter username. You can message me there, all those sorts of things to get your questions in. So then after that, I'll get into my Monday segment today. Check this out. And talk about why the Bobby and Toby show needs to become a reality. And to close, I'll take a look at this weekend's biggest headlines and prepare you for what's to come this week. In a recent interview with New York Times' Mark Stein, Jerry West said the following in reference to the Blake Griffin trade, and quote, "No one wants to do that, particularly with someone like Blake Griffin. It was very difficult for everyone, especially Steve Ballmer, because he really liked Blake personally. But this franchise was really stuck. There was nowhere for it to go. You have to figure out how far away you really are and how we can get there." So West claimed that the franchise was stuck with Blake Griffin before the trade at the center to Detroit, since the team had essentially reached its ceiling with Griffin at the helm. I'm sure you all know how I feel about this already. I've talked in the past few episodes about how I felt about Blake Griffin and his monster contract and that sort of thing, but I will go over it again in relation to this story. I feel like it's really important that I hit on this kind of thing, especially when someone as high up as Jerry West is making these sort of comments. I do think Griffin is an incredible player. There's no doubt about that. He's probably, if not, definitely the best player in Clippers franchise history. But West is correct. Blake's contract was taking up colossal space, and it's on the payroll there, and it would only take up more time as it went on. Or more spaces it went on, since he'll be set to make $38 million in the final year of his five-year deal, all of which is guaranteed. It's a $171 million guaranteed deal, and the yearly salary goes up each year, making 33 this year and 38 in the final year. So, for the money Griffin's getting paid there, his game is evolving, that sort of thing. He was becoming a better player towards the end of his time with the Clippers there, but, by that time the contract is up, Blake will already be 33 years old in a league that is evolving mostly without him. Already struggling for cap space, the Clippers would have been even more pressed had they not moved Griffin's contract. This offseason, right now, the Clippers are going to have about $1 million to work with in cap space. And that's, that's before a couple of these players have opted into their player options for next season. They do opt out. Clippers going to get some more money to work with this summer, and it's assumed that a few guys will. DeAndre Jordan might opt out. Avery Bradley could opt out. Still, Austin Rivers still possibly could opt out, although I don't know who he would. So there is still a chance for Clippers to have some more money to work with this summer. However, moving Griffin's contract was essential, not only for this summer, but moving forward, Clippers are going to have a lot of money next summer, 2019, to pursue some free agents and that sort of thing. And with that money cleared there, it wouldn't really be possible to go after a lot of high-profile guys. So, I do think that moving that was essential, especially, looking at what Blake would be able to produce over the next few years when, you could have younger guys that are more, adept to what the league's becoming and that sort of thing versus Griffin. So, I do think it was the right move. I've been over this a couple times now, but I think it was the right move, and I think that I think it's obvious that you look at a team that's fronted by Griffin, that team is not going to be able to reach the NBA Finals, which of course is a goal, I mean, that is the goal when you're playing any sort of sports league, is to, be the best team in the league. And I don't think that any team, led by Griffin would be able to reach an NBA Finals, especially if it hadn't happened already when he had Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan on his side as well. So, I mean, I find it hard to disagree with what West, wanted to do. I find it hard to doubt what West wants to do. He has one of the most incredible basketball minds in the league at this point, and has for a very long time. He's been, with the NBA in some sort of way since the early 60s, early 50s, late 50s there. Usually I think that whatever he says tends to be the truth, just because he knows what he's doing and knows so well what he wants to do and what he has planned. It's worked so well from in the past. So, that seems to especially be true here. And in that same interview, West also talked about not feeling wanted by the Golden State Warriors, which I think is a really important quote. He said, quote, "Leaving the Warriors is probably the most difficult thing for me in my whole life to do. I didn't want to leave because you get to the point where maybe you don't feel as valued, but it's just something that happened. I hold no malice toward anyone over there." So, since West was no longer rebuilding the Warriors and instead just kind of keeping him afloat at the top, it seems likely he didn't feel like a necessary piece of the team and instead wanted to go someplace where he felt he could thrive and have more of a say at helping another franchise out and that sort of thing. I also saw a different quote on Twitter a bit earlier today about how Steve and Steve Ballmer and Dre West came to terms on a 2-year deal. And West said that he's very happy to do that sort of thing. And he doesn't want to retire at any point because he says he's, quote, "not a person that does very well when he doesn't have a reason to get up in the morning." So I think all of that kind of, in a way, makes me like Dre West even more than I did before. He's an old man that just wants to make a difference somewhere. And if that means, sacrificing the throne on Golden State, that means going away from the super high win seasons and the 1 overall seed and playoff appearances and that sort of thing. If he'd rather rebuild a team than do that sort of thing, I think it's really honorable, first of all. And I think the Clippers are just super to be very grateful as a franchise. The people that work there and also the fans to have someone like West on the team that can help make a difference moving forward. And this might be, honestly, one of the best positions the franchise has been in, moving forward since maybe ever. So having West there is really, really important. I think, with his stance on Griffin, with his stance on the future of the team, I think he knows what he's doing. I think his direction is the right one to take. Still some things that are unknown about that with what to do with DeAndre Jordan, that sort of thing, and other players in the roster. But, West knows what he's doing. He's done this before. And I do think that we should trust him, I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's got it going on. So that'll wrap up the first segment today. And for this Monday's edition of Check This Out, I'll talk about why a reality show about Tobias Harris and Boban Marjanovic needs to happen. If your company is interested in advertising to men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Clippers is listened to by 98% men and 80% of those men between the ages of 18 and 44. If that speaks to you, shoot me a message at my email, which is gcorpenning@outlook.com. That's gchorpenning at outlook.com to get things started. Our rates are very reasonable, they're negotiable, and most of all, I would love to do business with you and get you on this show. So moving forward now, I'll be talking about this weekend's top stories. But first, I'll talk about the relationship that Tobias Harris and Boban Marjanovic share and why fans would love to see a reality show involving the two. So, I mean, chances are you know all about the bond that Tobias Harris and Boban Marjanovic share, and Toby and Bobby there. The two are almost always seen together off the court, and their social media presence has people begging for a reality show centered around the two. And I can say that I have been a part of this. I have been in a lot of people's replies and that sort of thing, a lot of the mentions saying like, yo, this needs to happen. Like, the amount of attention those two get alone just for, doing their daily routine is incredible. They're two very entertaining guys. And I think the bond they have is really unique. No one else like Boban in the league, without a doubt. And then to throw someone like Tobias Harris, who normally kind of flies under the radar, to have him with Boban and to share that bond together, that fans can see it. It's really entertaining. It's really fun to watch. And I think that It would really do numbers. And, you know, stuff like this has been done in the past with the NBA players, that sort of thing. Now, they weren't full-blown shows, but a few years back, there was the CP3 BGTV in HD. I want to say it was called on YouTube, the Jordan brand did. And it was a lot shorter, and it was little, you know, very short segments instead of full-blown episodes. But that was still entertaining. That was still fun to watch for a lot of people. And I do think that that would be, or a similar structure even, like a YouTube series or like a reality TV show, whatever it goes about, whatever platform it's on, would be a lot of fun for fans to watch, entertaining. And maybe even get like behind the scenes, look at like practices and that kind of thing, when, you know, what things they're up to, and the, I guess the dynamic between their friendship off the court and on the court, and how they interact. But, you know, I grew up as a kid watching Robin Big on MTV. And I think that if a show ever did happen between with Tobias Harris and Boban, it would be kind of like that. If you didn't watch Robin Big, Rob Dyrdek is a skateboarder, and Big was his bodyguard, and the two just did like the goofiest things together, and it was super entertaining. A lot of really, really funny stuff. Was on for, you know, 5 or 6 seasons before taking off the air, and Rob pursued other you know, TV opportunities and that sort of thing. But, you know, I think under that kind of structure and with that sort of, like, you know, game plan kind of way it was would go about, I don't know why NBA fans wouldn't watch something like that. I think they're a really fun duo. And, you know, I'm thinking about making a petition, actually, to get things going. You know, I'd love to see something like that on the air. Even like a YouTube series, like I mentioned earlier, any kind of platform, Netflix, whatever it goes on. I think it'd be awesome to see happen. So I'm going to make a petition, and I'll link it to the podcast tweet I put on my Twitter when this is published. So once that whole thing is made up, I'll link that on there, and you guys can sign if you'd like. We'll try and get things moving. I have some connections with Clippers and that sort of thing, Clipperholics. So I might be able to get that pushed out there a little bit further and maybe get things going. I've seen Tobias tweet about having some interest in doing that sort of thing in the future, or even, you know, I mean, the future is now based on when this tweet was sent. So I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think it'd be great. And I think, you know, it's a way to kind of keep fans in it. So I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. I think it'd be a lot of fun to see. But, you know, we'll see if that is moving forward. But wrapping that up now, I want to go to my last segment of the day. And I know it's going to be a little bit shorter today of a podcast. And that's because it's 85 degrees in my house right now. The AC is broken. And we had to put the heat on to unfreeze the system. So kind of melting right now, but it's all good. I'm going to go outside here soon and, you know, deal with this heat in a better way. So this last segment is going to be a little bit shorter. This whole podcast is going to be a little shorter than it usually is today. So apologies if it feels rushed or if it feels short. It is. That's because it is. So this should be fixed, hopefully, really soon. So we're going to get into the weekend's top stories now. The first of them being with the Celtics and the Cavaliers. The Celtics destroyed the Cavs in the first game of the series, 108-83. LeBron had 15 points and 7 turnovers, a lot of them forced by Marcus Morris and the Boston Celtics. So, you know, I think entering that series, a lot of fans were thinking that, hey, you know, the Celtics are undermanned, so to speak, and, you know, the Cavs, they have LeBron. So not much of a contest there since, you know, the Celtics were missing Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving too. But the irony of the whole, like, ragtag Celtics kind of thing is that they still have Al Horford, who's healthy, and Horford's a 5-time All-Star, so, like, hard to discount him. And then Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they are the last two, you know, top three picks. Last two of the top three picks in the last two drafts. So they're both obviously very talented players and have done, they've made incredible contributions in this postseason to Boston. And then you have Terry Rozier, who's averaging 17.5 points per game in the playoffs. So, like, you can call them ragtag because they're missing Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. At the same time, it's like, man, they're not a poor basketball team. Like, they're not a bad basketball team right now as it stands. They wouldn't have gotten this far, you know, if they weren't. So it was a bit of a surprise, I think, that the Cavs got beaten that bad. However, you know, it is the first game. It was in Boston. I don't think it's time to worry yet about LeBron, especially since, you know, he's been here before. You know, they might have gotten to him in the first game, but I really do doubt that he and the Cavs are scared of the Celtics at this point, especially since there's, you know, still 6 more potential games in the series, and LeBron is LeBron James. So I still do think the Cavs are going to go to the Eastern Conference, go to the NBA Finals now from the Eastern Conference Finals, and take on either the Rockets or the Warriors there. But I do think that, you know, I think the MVP of this series and this postseason run for the Celtics, you know, isn't a player. It's got to be Brad Stevens, who, you know, first of all, has to be an incredible coach to get this type of performance out of these guys, even though they're still, you know, a good team. But, you know, living in Indiana, I got to see firsthand what Stevens was doing at Butler. And even then, you could tell that he, you know, was a special coach, you know, got the most out of his players, that sort of thing. They love him. And I think it's really cool that, you know, he and Hayward are back together in Boston. So I think that the Celtics have a chance for sure. However, like I said before, I still think the Cavs win this one in seven games. So, you know, game two is going to be a little bit later this week. I want to say it's Wednesday. So we'll see how that goes with the rest of the series. But for now, Celtics made a nice push in the first game. We'll see how the Cavs respond in game two. Second headline is the Supreme Court legalizing sports gambling today. So finally, the Supreme Court of the United States has ruled that the state ban on sports betting is unconstitutional. Prior to today, the only state with legal sports betting was Nevada. And now New Jersey, which was the state that the case came from, and many more states to follow, will officially be able to legalize the practice. It's been outlawed in the United States since 1992, and it's risen in popularity lately with, you know, you hear analysts on TV talking about the spread of games, you know, the over-unders and that sort of thing, and a team's record against the spread and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So that the impact of it's certainly been, you know, more mainstream, more publicized and lately in sports cultures and that sort of thing. So it was only a matter of time, really, until it became legal and, you know, it is now. So the states have the power to decide with, you know, if they want to allow sports gambling, if they keep it out. So we'll see how that goes moving forward. But you know, NBA League Commissioner Adam Silver did comment on it, and he said he's not particularly pro-sports betting, but is pro-transparency instead, claiming he is just a realist in the business. And he said that it also would, it's a reality of sports culture at this point, and that it will help the NBA avoid future scandals. And Silver also said that as the NBA has hosted global games, sports betting companies reached out to the league in an attempt to do business, and which has made them focus more on the issue as the NBA becomes a global company. And all these quotes are from Bleacher Report. But as of today, states will be free to choose if they want to allow sports gambling or if they'd rather keep it out. So, monumental day in sports and sports history moving forward. So then my third and last headline of the day is the Houston Rockets taking on the Golden State Warriors tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And I do want to wonder about this. You know, do the Rockets have their tanks to take on the Warriors? And I do think that, yes, they certainly do. My prediction for the series was Rockets won it in seven, and I'm still with that. And I think, you know, the Rockets' backcourt is averaging about 50 points per game with James Harden and Chris Paul there. Warriors averaging about 46 with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. So those are about even there. But I think that the difference is going to be made with what the team, what the Rockets does, what the Rockets do with Kevin Durant, and how they feed the ball to Clint Capela and that sort of thing too on the offensive end. So I think the series is going to be a lot more even than some people are saying. I've seen people say, you know, hey, Warriors got this in four games, five games. I don't think it's going to be that close. I do think it's going to go to six or seven, regardless of who wins. You know, I think it is exciting, though, that Chris Paul has the first chance to get to the NBA Finals. I'd love to see him get there. You know, and I want to think, too, you know, would the Dubs-Cavs rematch, you know, part four, you know, be good or bad for the NBA? And I think it'd be a little bit of both. I think good because it's done such great ratings recently with the past three, you know, iterations of it. You know, LeBron James in the finals is always a cash grab, and when you have someone like Kevin Durant in there as well, it'd be good for the ratings, of course, but how the fans will react, I don't really know. Maybe get tired of seeing the same old thing. You know, I certainly would like a little refresher in the finals, but I'm not going to hate it. I'm not going to not watch it if it's Cavs Warriors again. So game one is tonight in Houston. Rockets are favored by 1.5 points. And my prediction, I think the Rockets are going to win game one, 112-105. I think James Harden is going to go off for 34 points. Chris Paul has a near triple-double. And Kevin Durant and Steph Curry combine for 73 points. You know, that's my extremely specific prediction for tonight's game. And I'll keep track of that to see, you know, how accurate I get on that. So that's something to watch for, I guess. So that's going to do it for today's show, guys. I hope you enjoyed listening. Come back tomorrow, where I'll be talking about the results of Game 1 of Rockets-Warriors and preview for Game 2 of Cavs-Celtics. I'll prepare you for the NBA Draft Lottery as well, which is tomorrow night. And I'll also name my top 10 prospects in this year's draft. So, good show tomorrow for you, hoping to have the air back on and be able to focus on that one a lot more than I was today. Again, I apologize for that. It's, something I can't help at this point. And so, so thanks so much for listening today, guys. I appreciate it. Once again, I'm Garrett Korpinning, and I hope you enjoyed today's show. You can find more from the Locked On Podcast Network on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and other online podcast platforms. And I will catch you guys tomorrow.